Hello and welcome to the latest edition of The Form Book. Looking ahead to the all-weather finals day at Newmarket and Dubai. The sun is shining on Maidan and we're going to look ahead to the Dubai World Cup meeting. Lots to enjoy on this week's edition of The Form Book. Yes, and as you can see, joining me will be Katie Midwinter, Tipstar champion and Rating TV's very own Jack Nicol. Now, of course, you might remember Jack from YouTube and his show Flat Out. Now, that's going to be returning to YouTube in a couple of weeks. So keep an eye out for that around the Craven meeting for Flat Out. So we're going to get straight into it. And let's have a look at the rating that's coming up first off at Newcastle. Competitive card there. Loads of interesting races. The Burridon Stakes at 118 is particularly interesting. And Katie, start with you. Who do you like in the 118?
I quite like the look of Room Service for Kevin Ryan. I think he's an interesting contender in here. I like his form ahead of Dragon Leader from last season, a colt that is otherwise unbeaten. He beat him at Doncaster and Johannes Brahms was in third for Aidan O'Brien. He had previously placed in a group two. And I think his third at York prior to that, that's been Frank quite nicely as well. The runner-up Starlust went on to finish third in the Juvenile Turf Sprint behind Royal Ascot winners Big Evs and Valiant Force. Now, my concern with Room Service is that he hasn't raced over further than 6.5 furlongs, but the ground was quite testing at Doncaster and he galloped all the way to the line and his pedigree suggests that he will stay. His sire won a group two over a mile, his dam stayed the mile and he has a half brother with proven form over 7 furlongs. So I'm hoping that he will have enough stamina to cope with this step up in trip. As for the all weather as well, he's unraced on it, but his sire has a strike rate of 36% winners to runners on an all weather surface. So I'm hopeful that Room Service could run a nice race and maybe get into the places.
Okay, Room Service then for Katie in the Burridon. And Jack, you're in agreement?
I am, yes. I don't really have too much more to add to what Katie said. Obvious concerns about staying the trip. He has an Irish Guineas entry. So in terms of, I think, from what connections think, they don't have many doubts for that. They probably had quite a few options to go down, staying at 6 furlongs being one of them. But they obviously see him as a mile and that only bodes well in terms of confidence. So, Room Service for me as well.
Two votes then for Room Service. I've flown through that race because there's no betting yet. It's the only race on that card with no betting. But we are, of course, sponsored once again. Thanks very much to BetUK. Remember, you can get £30 in free bets when you bet £10 with them. This is for new customers only. Deposit and place a bet within 7 days and settle the £10 minimum bet at odds of 4-5 or greater to be credited. T's and C's do apply. So thanks very much to BetUK and obviously a big day for them coming up. The next race, though, is the 153. This is another competitive-looking contest. Give you the betting. This is the marathon. 4-1 Fav Spartan Army, 9-2 Max Vega, 5-1 Palace Boy, 6 is Vaguely Royal, 10-1 Pride and Citizen General and Tyson Fury at 12s and it's 14-1 Bar. Come to you first on this occasion, Jack. Who do you like in the marathon?
Well, I think it's important to start by saying this is actually a handicap. So the Burridon is the only conditions race on the card. They've changed it up a bit this year and it's going to make things a bit more competitive as opposed to just running on levels and whatnot, weight for age and the like. And the horse I quite like here is Pridwin. The form line between him, Spartan Army and Vaguely Royal at Lingfield the other day, there's not too much to pick out there, but I was quite taken with Pridwin. He had to come wide, and in my opinion, he came out best of all. He's a pound better off for the winner that day, but I think he's a big each-way player at around 10-1 here. I think the track will suit him much better than the turning track, as I say, of Lingfield. So, yeah, he's a fairly solid each-way selection on the card, actually.
Okay, Pridwin each-way then, 153 Newcastle then for Jack. Katie, your selection was a non-runner, so was there anything else you wanted to say about this race, or was this one that you'd probably be leaving alone?
Yeah, not much to say. I was hoping that One Smooth Operator would run over this trip, but we're going to see him later on in the card. The one I'd be most interested in is Citizen General, and he's a decent each-way price at 12-1. So he'd be the one I'd be leaning towards, but not a particularly strong fancy in this race.
Okay, next up is the 225. Here's how they bet. Fire Demon, 7-2 Fav. Sommelier, 5-1. 11-2 Blueprint. 6-1 Media Shooter. 7s for Tarsus. And Havana Ball, 8-1. 12-1 Bar. Either of you a strong note here? Jack, start with you. Anything that catches your eye?
No, not too much. I think this is probably the one race that I'm going to keep my powder dry. Yeah, for the card at Newcastle. It's just the unknown of the 2-year-olds training on. Obviously, you've got a few that have been campaigned over the winter, but I think there's probably a bit of doubt in my mind in terms of what to go with. Yeah, and I think there's better punting opportunities elsewhere on the card.
What about yourself, Katie?
I'd be in complete agreement with Jack. I'm not with a strong fancy in this. I think Fire Demon is probably the one to beat, but I'm not convinced by him over this trip. Blue Prince maybe would be the most interesting of the others, but I think it's a bit of a tricky race.
Okay, that's what we like. If you don't have a selection, no need to get involved. Plenty more betting opportunities across the course of Easter. Next up is the 3 o'clock. 5-2 Fav is 9/10. Shades of Summer at 7-2. Wild Side at 7s. Sybil Charm, Cloud Cover, Amorous Grail at 8s. And Justice Spark at 10s. 14-1 bar. Who wants to start first here? Katie, selection here?
I've got quite a strong fancy in this one. I like Hodskill for Adrian McGuinness. I think she's on a handy mark of 95 with Adam Caffrey claiming £3. Last July, she was third in a listed race at Chelmsford, a length and a three quarters behind White Moonlight, who's rated 106, and a neck behind Queen Aminatu, who loves the all weather, and she's rated 105. And Heredia, who went on to win the Group 3 Atlanta Stakes at Sandown, was behind in fourth that day, and she's now rated 108 after placing in a Group 1. Hodskill's been running well at times at Dundalk over the winter, when only a couple of pounds lower than a current mark. And Adrian McGuinness saddled 15 flat runners in Britain last year. 9 of those finished among the top 4 with 2 winners. So I think Hodskill, she's probably one of my stronger fancies of the day on Friday. I think she's a really nice each-way price as well, so I'm hoping she runs a big race.
14-1 for Hodskill. Nice selection there. What about yourself, JN?
Yes, so 9/10 was really impressive the last day. It would concern me slightly that William Haggas thinks that he has to enlist the services of Jack Enright to take £7 off. He obviously thinks that she's not overly well handicapped. As I say, it's not a conditions race of why she would have been well off with a lot of these rivals. But in it, as it is, she's going to have to lump around 9/12 minus his claim. And I'm not sure Jack Enright would have much experience around Newcastle. So that would be another negative for me. Therefore, a horse who has run at the track and is a good jockey booking as well as Danny Tudhope, and that's Aramis Gray. Such a durable and consistent mare. If she actually repeats what she did in this race last year, as Katie mentioned, Queen Aminato, she's a proper all-weather tool. Aramis Gray was second to her, just given best late on, and I think a reproduction of that effort would see her very much to the fore here. She's very closely matched with Shades of Summer. The horse I mentioned there has beat her twice. That being said, she's conceded Aramis Gray has conceded £16 and £11, beating her twice. This time she only has to give her £7, and I'm quite surprised that there's quite a disparity between the two. Aramis Gray's in at 8 compared to Shades of Summer's 4. I'd have them a lot closer now, having just to give away the £7. And I think, based on her really consistent profile, it's very hard to see Aramis Gray out the places here. I'd say this has been the plan all season, and she'd be probably one of the better each-way bets on the card for me.
As you can see, as Jack says, 8-1 for Aramis Gray in that contest. That's the 3 o'clock. We're flying through them. Next up is the 3:35. 4-1 Fav here is Cover Up. Batal Dubai at 9-2. Albashir at 5s. Coachella at 8s, along with 5,000-1. Chipstead and Billy Joe at 10s. Juan Lapin at 12-1. Somagand at 14s. Apache Outlaw the same price. And 16-1 are those. Now, you've got a strong fancy in this, Jack. Take it away.
I do, yes. Coachella. Now, you wouldn't be coming in this weekend thinking of Gordon Elliott, but he's done wonders with this horse, to be fair. Around this time last year, he was winning the listed race in Maidan. It's interesting they didn't think it'd be worth taking him out, given his course form and the riches on offer out there, which we'll get onto a bit later on. Decided to go for an all-weather campaign. And to be fair, for a change of tactics, they were kind of being a bit forceful with him. They've decided to hold him up this year, and he's already kind of paid his way. He's 2 wins in 4 starts. I'm not sure a turn and track probably suits him. So one of those wins was at Newcastle. So I'm pleased to see him back here. I was really quite impressed with that. And his 4th last time out behind the likes of Diligent Harry and Anath, that form can't be advertised any more than it is. And to be honest, I think that's probably one of the strongest form lines he had. And as it is, at 10-1, I think he's an outstanding each way bet in this race.
Okay, that's a note on Coachella. What about yourself here, Kate? Have you got any fancies?
Yeah, there's a couple I like the look of in this race. It's going to be a tough race to find a winner in 16 runners over 6 furlongs, but I like the look of Van Le Pan. I think he's on a workable mark over his optimum trip of 6 furlongs. He ran over an inadequate 1-mile-4 last time, but he was only beaten by Diligent Harry over 5 furlongs the time before, after suffering an awkward start as well. He did well to finish as close as he did on that day, only a length behind. And Diligent Harry is contesting the Group 1 sprint at Maidan on Saturday. So it's a good piece of form, and I think he could run a good race. I expect him to run well off a mark of 105. I wouldn't rule out Semagan, though. He's at a grand age of 10 now, but he finished 7th in the race last year. He's beaten only 3 lengths when rated £12 higher. He finished wrongly, but he just had too much to do at the end. But I think he's definitely on a handy mark. And if he's retained his ability, then I definitely wouldn't rule him out. And I will give a quick mention to one at a big price, the Exo. I think he's capable of a big run on his day. He's usually a big price as well. He was 7th to Chipstead last time, but only a length and 3/4 behind. He had to check wide to get into a more prominent position on that occasion. He just couldn't hold on to finish among the places, but he was 80-1. He's placed at 22-1 in the past and finished 2nd in a Group 3 at 125-1 last season. So he's one that's going to be capable of outrunning his odds at a big price.
Okay, interesting thought. So Juan Le Pan and Somagand to make a pill, and don't forget about the Exo. That's a look at that race. Next up then will be the 4:10. Just give you some of the betting for that one, if I can find it. He's found it. 11-4 favourite is Oso Grand. 7-2 for Penzance. Elegant Man at 5-1. To Metius Fox and To Catch a Thief at 6s. Blanchland at 8s. 10-1 Claymore Hooking and Stormcatcher. 14-1 Bar. Now, this, of course, is the Easter Classic. Pretty competitive affair, this. Just talk about one horse first in this, Jack, if we can. And that's Elegant Man, because I think this is an interesting runner in the Ammo Silks. Did the business nicely at Dundalk. Hasn't got as much experience as a couple of others in this. I'll come on to Penzance. We'll ask Katie about that one. What do you make of this charge, though? Elegant Man.
Yeah, he's the kind of unexposed horse in the race. Only 3 starts. To be honest, for all he was very impressive this day, his 2nd to Rebel's Romance at Kempton there at Christmas, just the other side of Christmas, that's arguably one of the strongest pieces of form, as we've seen just by that run there. He's obviously an upwardly mobile horse. Still quite unexposed, and look, I don't think we have reached the ceiling of his ability yet. That being said, mark of 108, he's going to have to give weight away to inform rivals, and I'm just not quite sure whether he is that good enough to give away that way off 9-12. Interestingly, comes over from Ireland. I think he's got solid enough claims. He probably wouldn't be for me, to be honest.
Have you got a fancy in it, Jack, or is this one you'd sit out?
It's probably one I'd sit out. I think Oso Grand and Penzance, look, they've been having a really successful winter, haven't they? They've just been winning races hand over fist. Penzance would probably be the one I'd prefer out of those two. I wouldn't usually like to back the fillies over the colts and geldings over the winter. That's the way I'd always kind of go over things. And I think Penzance, a horse at the top of his game right now, this has obviously been the target probably from the start of the all-weather campaign. And I think it'd be very hard to keep him out of the places.
Just a word on Penzance, Katie. Just on his win so far this season, he's progressed for the horse watchers. Do you think he's the one to beat, or would you be taking on Penzance?
I think he's probably going to be there or thereabouts. He won easily on this occasion and was put up £9, which reduced the distance between himself and the 2nd Stormcatcher, who was 2nd again to him at Newcastle. He's clearly a progressive horse, and the handicappers may be struggling to get a handle on him because he keeps winning. But he's up to 98 now, though. It's a career high mark against tougher opposition, I would say. He might get found out, but on his form, he's got a leading chance in this race, and he should be among them if he can cope with the other rise in the weights.
Have you got a selection, Katie?
I'd go for Sobuska each way. It's a competitive race, but I think he has got that bit of class that could see him make the frame. The only concern I'd have is the way he's usually ridden. He's often towards the rear of the field coming late with his challenge, and sometimes it's too late and the bird has flown. But he's a horse that will give you a good run more often than not. He's on a handy mark off 102, and I think this trip will suit him. So I'd be hoping that he could maybe make the frame at a big price.
And the final race is 11-4 Fav is dear my friend in the 440, 5-1 for Fast Raj, 6s for Kingdom Come and Symbol of Light, Fantastic Fox at 7s, McLean House 15-2, Great Gaddian 8s, Final Voyage 9s, King's Code 10s, 14s Tempest and 16-1 bar those. Now I know you've got a fancy in this, Katie. You're not the one at the top of the market, dear my friend.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this horse. He's been in electric form on the all-weather this winter. He had been gelded and had wind surgery, and that seems to have made all of the difference to him, as well as the switch to this surface. He ran in the Derby last year, made no impression, was never involved, but he put in a few nice performances as a juvenile, including one third in a listed race at Deauville, behind Victoria Road, who went on to win at the Breeders' Cup, and Blue Rose Fen as well, who's gone on to win four Group 1 since and looks a world beater at times. So there's definitely plenty of ability in him. It's just whether or not he can cope with another rise in the weights. He's up to a mark of 113. He's 16 pounds higher than when he began his winning sequence. But he doesn't appear to be faltering, so hopefully he can put in another good performance.
Okay, that's Katie on Dear My Friend. Jack, any brief thoughts? Someone on the plane over told me Dear My Friend's a good thing. So whether you believe that or not, wasn't the stewardess.
Well, he did win the Burradon Stakes on this card last year. Obviously, he's got to give a bit more weight away this year, chunks of weight. Although I think his biggest rival could be Fast Raj. You just look at some of that French form and it's really quite solid. He's an all-weather too. I think he's won 7 of his 12 starts on the all-weather. And ultimately, I think he might be a little bit underestimated in the market, just being a French horse. I think he probably should be a fair bit short. I wouldn't have much between the two at all, actually. He gets £3 from the Johnson horse, who, to be fair, has looked better than ever since he's returned. And yeah, I can't see too much between them, but at the prices, you can get 7-1 about Fast Raj, and he would be a tentative each way selection, but I think he could be one just flying under the radar a little bit.
That's a look then at the card at Newcastle. Bet UK sponsoring the majority of that card, so good luck to them, and thanks again for them to sponsoring the show. That's a 15-minute look ahead to the all-weather action there, and let's now have a brief look at Dubai. Yes, as you can probably tell from my sunburn, I've made the trip out to Dubai. Cloudy earlier on today, but it's come out beautifully now, and it looks like conditions are set fair for Saturday's action, which you can, of course, watch live on Racing TV. Track looked in great nick. Everyone seems pretty happy, and plenty of the domestic and, of course, the international raiders working this morning. So let's have a look. Then we're going to have a look at four races, really, to focus on. We're going to start with the Dubai Gold Cup. 11-4 Favis Tower of London, 7-2 Trawlerman, 5-1 Eldar, Eldar Oven Suscani, 13-2 Coltrane, Enemy at 8s, and Sober at 10s. It's 12-1 bar those. I'll come to you first, Jack. You've made the case, I think, for the Andrew Boarding Train Coltrane here.
Yes, so I just think it's interesting that they're going in search of the riches, really. They could have kept them to a sort of a domestic campaign like they did last year. They probably had the opportunity of going out to Dubai. They stayed at home last year. They've come over and searched this year. He's just a horse that goes well fresh. I was really impressed with the way he won at Ascot first time up last year, and I think they'll have him absolutely cherry ripe for this. As we see here, he won the Group 2 at York back in August at the Ebor Festival. He's done it very well there, beating Courage Mon Ami. Fair enough, he disappointed at Doncaster next time out, and then maybe, I suppose, at Champions Day, he was probably just over the top, but he's the type of horse that comes alive in sort of the first half of the year. And I think around 8-1, he's a very solid each-way chance. Tower of London has already been campaigned throughout the winter. He ran and just got up, as we'll see here, in Riyadh, beating Enemy. That form's probably a little bit overplayed. Obviously, he has the fitness edge, but I think this is somewhere short of some of the best of the others. Eldar Eldarov, Trawlerman, for example. Now, that's proper Group 1 form. So I would be taking on Tower of London, for all he is still unexposed and unexposed to the end and still on the up. Trawlerman's interesting. He obviously bombed out in this race last year. He's got to overcome that. But as we saw here, look, Kyprios probably back to his best this day. He left his run in Ireland the time before well behind. And it was a real proper effort for Trawlerman to get up and reel Kyprios is. If he's in that form, he will be hard to beat. But I just think Coltrane, very, very hard to pick holes in his form, but yeah, very much in fear of Trawlerman as well. I think he's a big danger.
as Jack says, this is, of course, Trawlerman winning on Champions Day Coltrane back in fifth on that occasion. A good ride from Dettori to get him up. The final one I'm going to ask you about, though, Jack, is Eldar Eldarov. What chance do you give him? Roger Varin, very sweet on his chances, talking to the media this morning. He thinks his horses, we've already seen him, of course, have success at Doncaster last week. They seem in good nick early. What do you make of him?
He's just a horse I've never really quite warmed to. For whatever reason, I think this day it was supposed to be just be a bit of a penalty kick for Kyprios's return. As it was, he was somewhere below his best, and I think it just kind of fell into his lap of Eldar Eldarov. As we saw on the back of that, Kyprios left that well behind, and I'm not sure you can really take the validity of that form at face value, and as a result, I'd be taking him on very much so.
Okay, that's a look then at the Dubai Gold Cup. Next race that we're going to have a look at is the Dubai Turf. 11-4 Favis Du Juice, measured time 7-2. 5-1 Lord North, Nashwar at 8, Danon Beluga at 10s, Factor Cheval 11s, and 14-1 bar those. Jack, I'll just come back to you on this one because obviously this is an interesting one from a lot of angles. You've got Lord North going for the four-timer, Danon Beluga, who was narrowly denied last year, and you've got Du Juice, who missed the race, of course, last year. Talking this morning, his trainer is suggesting that they've tried things a bit differently because they're worried about him in terms of the build-up. What do you, though, make of last year's form first, if we just take a look at the victory from Lord North?
Yeah, so I'll start with Lord North. I think he's getting a little bit too long in the tooth now, and I just couldn't have him to what would be an amazing achievement. But if we look at Danon Beluga, who's in the red and white silks, he comes home like a freight train and he just fails to get up. And he would actually be my selection in the race. Again, a bit like the French horse at Newcastle, I think the Japanese can be a little bit overlooked at times, and particularly him in this case, because Doju's the favourite. But a 10-1 Danon Beluga, when you look at his form, it's clear they've tried him at a mile and a half and he just doesn't stay that far. I think he's a proper, around about 10 furlong horse. Obviously, this is over 9 furlongs. We'll get on the Nashua in a little second, but I think that could be his trip. And he's already done it here. Fair enough, he didn't win the last day, but I'd expect him to get a bit closer, and I can definitely see him reversing the form with Lord North.
Okay, I'm going to give my selection. I'm with Measured Time here. I was a big fan of the Jebel Hatter win. He's got to definitely step up. He's got a lot to find, but I think he's Godolphin's arguably best chance of winner on the card. And I just like the way he quickened here in good style. He's going to have to find more. This is a more competitive contest, but he's a horse on the up. And I think Measured Time could definitely serve it up to them. I'll be taking on Lord North like Jack. I'll be looking elsewhere. And I don't fancy the favourite either, really, despite the fact that they're happy with the prep. You're going for an outsider as well here, Katie. You're with Luxembourg.
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of this horse, and I think he looks a bit of value at current price as well each way. Slightly disappointing last time at Riyadh, but he wasn't too far back. Now, the dropping in him in trip here, which is probably as short as he wants, I've always thought of him as more of a mile and a quarter horse, but rather than a mile and a half horse. So maybe this trip, it maybe isn't his ideal, but I think it won't be too much of an inconvenience for him. Had a couple of near misses towards the end of last season, but really good form, strong form behind August Rodin in the Irish Champions Stakes, then narrowly beaten in the Hong Kong Cup. He's a brave horse, really gutsy, and I just think he could maybe outrun his odds in this field. He's been around for a few seasons now, and he rarely disappoints, and I just think he's being overlooked. So I'd be hopeful that he could outrun his odds of around 12-1.
Jack, Nashwar was an eye catcher on this occasion. We've also got some Vita winning the Falmouth this year, last year. What do you make of Nashwar for Team Gosden?
Well, I just to add to what Katie says, I think Luxembourg, I'd agree with the points there. He probably is a bit overpriced. Group on form in abundance at 12-1. He probably is quite a big price. Nashwar closely matched. She is getting a little bit expensive to follow now. Now, this would be her only win in her last 9 starts. What I would say is that probably she is better coming down in trip. She probably didn't quite, well, she definitely didn't stay the mile and a half in the Oaks. 10 furlongs, maybe have just stretched her. She came to hand as the season progressed last year. And I just wonder, with history tells us that I wouldn't want to be on the side of the Gosden horses in this early part of the year. So that would be a negative. What I would think is 9 furlongs could really be the best of a mile to 9 furlongs. It is interesting that they do bring her out here, and at 10-1, she's probably a little bit overpriced. But I guess that tells you the competitive nature of the race. Doe Juice beat Equinox, obviously, 2 years ago. Measure time could be anything. So, it's a race probably I'm most looking forward to here. And, the fact that Nashua's 10-1 tells you how much quality was on offer.
So, Luxembourg then in the Dubai Turf for Katie at a big price each way. And it's also Danon Beluga then for Jack. Next race that we're going to have a look at is the Dubai Shima Classic. There's your betting. 7-4 Fav is Liberty Island. 3-1 August Rodan. 6-1 Stars on Earth. Emily Upjohn at 7s. Rebels Romance at 8s. Junko 9. Sir Alex has got Spirit Dancer at 12s. And it's 14-1 bar those. What can I tell you about on the ground? Last year when I was here, Equinox was absolutely hyped up by the Japanese press before he ran, and they knew that he was a monster. I'm not getting the same vibes with Liberty Island. I think they still think she's very, very good, but I don't think she's an Equinox. So despite that, solid form. For me, it would be all about August Rodan, and I'll start with you, Katie, because he's your nap, August Rodan.
Yeah, I think he's a big price, actually, around 3-1, 11-4 at the moment, because he's just an unbelievable horse, top-class horse, Derby winner. He's done little wrong in his career. He had 2 mishaps last year in the Guineas and King George, but he made up for it in other runs, and he had excuses on those occasions. I just think he's going to be perfectly suited by this. And if he is at his best, then that price could look like tremendous value come Saturday afternoon. We see him here under a fantastic ride by Ryan Moore winning the Breeders' Cup Turf. It was just an incredible performance, and it was just incredible to see him win in that manner as well. He's so powerful all the way towards the line. I just think they're all going to struggle to beat him. I think he's got that class edge, and he would definitely be my nap of the day.
This is August Rodan as well, as we already saw, beating Luxembourg in the Irish Champions Stakes. Some nice shots here that Jack actually got for me, so that's very kind of him. Jack, what do you make of August Rodan? Would you be in his camp, or would you be looking to take him on?
No, this isn't a race I have a strong opinion on in terms of a punt, but I do think probably I would, if press, go with August Rodan. Look, the worry would be that the mishaps that Katie kind of mentions, he's a little bit hot and cold, but as we saw by that Breeders' Cup effort, when he's on song, he's very tough to beat. And I'm not sure, to be honest. I think Emily Upjohn could be the forgotten horse, but again, she's a little bit hot and cold. She can blow out. We haven't seen her since she disappointed at Ascot in July now, so it's a long time to come back. Again, the worry that Goslins don't always have theirs fully wound up at this time of year. I remember burning my fingers with the fugue at this meeting in the same colours. But ultimately, come back to August Rodan. Look, if he's on song, I think the vibes have been quite good with him. We saw him work at Dundalk. I wasn't overly impressed with that, to be honest, actually. But since he's got over there, he probably had time to get acclimatised with the track and whatnot. And yeah, I think if pressed, I think I probably would side with August Rodan. Interesting you say there that the vibes aren't so hot about Liberty Island. Again, for a filly, it'd be interesting to see her taking on the Colts and Geldens, and it'll be a top effort for her to do that.
Okay, that's then a look at the Shima Classic. Final race that we're going to have a look at then is the $12 million Dubai World Cup. Ujbra Tazora, the defending champ at 9-4. Derma Sotagaki and Kabir Khan at 9-2. Senor Buscador, the Saudi Cup here at 7s. Newgate 8s. Laurel River and Newgrange 12s. 16-1 bar. Right. Let's take a look first at the Saudi Cup. Senor Buscador getting up in the shadows of the post to deny the gallant Ujbra Tazora. Katie, start with you. What do you make of the Saudi Cup, or what do you make of the two, Senor Buscador and Ujbra Tazora?
Well, yeah, he was so far back on this occasion, he completely flies home. They both make up a lot of ground, to be fair to them, and I'd have them both on the shortlist for this race once again. It's hard to split them, really, because they finish so close together and they come from so far back. I think Ujbra Tazora probably just went for home sooner. So on that basis, I'd maybe just fancy Senor Buscador to potentially beat him again, but It's a tough one.
Let's have a look, Jack, at Ujbra Tazora's winning the race last year. He again comes from a mile back. He's one of those. He's slow away, but he always stays on strongly under Yuga Kawada to deliver the goods. What do you make of his repeat bid? It's not, of course, an easy thing to go back-to-back. Thunder Snow's done it. It's a tricky race to win twice. But would you be in the Tesoro camp or looking elsewhere?
I'd probably be looking elsewhere. I mean, watching this back doesn't bring back good memories, having backed Algiers, to be honest with you, Danny. Just the way the race makeup, that they go so hard and it can always kind of fall into the lap of a closer. The one who would be a very tentative selection, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you that I'd be a dirt expert, but the horse I would probably, as an each way selection, it's not a great price, but at 5-1, Derma Sotogaki. He won on this card last year. He was fifth in the Saudi Cup, which was just watched there. He got going all too late, but I just think he's already been there. He's done it. He's proven when he was second in the Breeders' Cup. I think this is race here, isn't it? He's fine over the distance, and I just think it's quite hard to pick holes in his form on his general profile. But as I say, it's a very tentative selection, and there wouldn't be much confidence behind it, all truth told.
He was very good here. I do agree with you, Jack, in the UAE Derby. And I think if you're looking for one who's already, of course, proven at the track as well as a Tesoro, he'd have to have claim. So that's a look at Derma Sotogaki. I'd probably be the defending champ, but it would be an uncomfortable watch for me as well. Barrier draw takes place in about an hour. So we'll know a bit more after that as well, whether it can help out the Fav there. Right, so that's your lot, really. So let's just wrap it up by Jack. Start with you. Your nap is...
So my nap is Coachella in the 3:35, the sprint. I was just very much taken when he won there over the winter. I think the change, slight change in tactics, holding them up, it's very hard to make the running. He's better off with on conditions with Batal, Dubai, who's the favourite here. I can't believe the disparity in their prices. And he's a very, very strong each-way selection for me.
That's Coachella then for Jack. Katie, your nap is...
August Rodin in the Shima Classic. I think he's going to be the class of the field. He's going to take all of the beating. He's an unbelievable colt. And we're lucky to see him again this season after such an exceptional season last year. But hopefully he can get the job done. I think he's going to have too much for the rest of them.
August Rodin to paint a picture for me as well. I think he makes plenty of appeal in the Shima Classic. Do take a look at the barrier draws for all these that are happening in about an hour here, 6 o'clock time, Dubai. Make sure you have a look at those when they're out and see how that could affect your selections. But yeah, I think August Rodin does make a pill in the Shima Classic. So that's your lot for the latest episode of The Form, but we'll be back with a Grand National special. That's just around the corner in association with BetUK. Thanks very much to Katie and to Jack for their company. Enjoy all the action over Easter. I hope you have a fantastic Easter. Enjoy the action on Good Friday, Easter Sunday. And of course, there's the Irish Grand National on Easter Monday from Fairy House. Enjoy the action, and please remember to gamble responsibly. We'll be right back.